In today's episode of Little Pampered Dog, episode number 10, we talk to a dog trainer about housebreaking dogs and also about his new product that will help people to housebreak their dogs more efficiently. To Little Pampered Dog. Little Pampered Dog is the lifestyle magazine for little pampered dogs and the people who love them. And I'm Lourdes Wellhaven, and I am your host. And I'm so excited to be back with you again here on Little Pampered Dog on this next episode. Okay, so let me tell you what to expect and how all of this came about. First of all, just so you know, with every episode, we have show notes. And those show notes make it so that you don't have to write anything down. So if you're listening to this podcast while you're exercising or doing work around the house or in the car or wherever you are, no big deal. You don't have to take notes because I've taken them for you. You only need to know where to find the notes, right? So this is episode number 10. Okay. And so you'll go to littlepamperdog.com/010. Okay. For 10, littlepamperdog.com/010, littlepamperdog.com/010. And you'll find this particular episode that you can play right online if you like. And of course, the show notes, which is real important. So any links that we've discussed are in the show notes. I have embedded a video, of the product that we're going to talk about. Everything that you need, just go to the show notes. It'll make more sense. So let me tell you a little bit about the topic of this particular show. So I'm always on the lookout for great products for all of us, for our little pampered dogs. And, you know, I'm always looking at different items that I think are new or promising. And I found this item. It's called Gotta Potty. And it was developed by a dog trainer, a certified dog trainer. And it's very, very interesting. And I'll tell you why housebreaking a dog is one of those items that is very, very important to me. I had dogs growing up my whole life. But as a kid, I wasn't the one responsible for housebreaking the dog. My parents were. I guess they could have made me responsible, but they didn't. That's just something that they handled themselves. And I just really, you know, enjoyed the dog, and that was pretty much it. I mean, I would have to feed the dogs that we had and walk them and that sort of thing. But as far as like that extensive, you know, training, that wasn't me. My first dog as an adult, that was an eye opener, because I have to tell you, he was very, very, very difficult to potty train, to get him to be housebroken. I mean, we took him to a trainer and it was rough. It took a long, long time, longer than I ever thought should have been possible. My current dog, Bella, was a breeze to potty train. And looking back on it now, I think that one of the reasons why Rascal, my Bichon, was so difficult to potty train versus Bella, my current dog, and Malty Poo was so much easier to potty train, was really more about my lifestyle. And I'll tell you why. Rascal, when I had him, I was finishing up college and then also working full time for someone else. And with Bella, when I first got her, I owned my own business and obviously still do. And so, you know, I was able with Bella to just have her with me at all times, because as the boss, I can have Bella with me and that's no big deal, you know, because of course dogs are allowed, right? So potty training Bella was nothing, but I really read up on it, studied it, because I didn't want to go through again what I went through initially with Rascal, because it was rough. It really was rough and not just a very, very difficult dog to get to get it. It was very frustrating. And of course, all dogs are different, just like kids and people and whatever. All dogs are different. But with Bella, I literally had her on me and with me 24 hours a day. In fact, I still do. Bella and I are pretty much inseparable. I don't go many places without her. If I'm there, she's there. But with us being together, then I would feed her and then I would walk her. I'd give her, you know, to drink and then I'd walk her. And every single little habit that she has, we're together all the time. So that made it super easy to read her cues and get to know them. She's never chewed up anything in the house, and she only had an accident like twice. And both of those were my fault, or, you know, my husband and my fault. One time when we were playing with her and she went to, you know, she had to go potty. And so, we just didn't read her cues, honestly. And the second time it was me and I didn't read her cues. But that was early on before I really got to know her cues. Once I understood what she did, plus I kept a very strict schedule of eating and drinking and going out and coming in, and everything was very, very strict. Honestly, I have to tell you that within 2 weeks, she was pretty much potty trained. Now, she was a wee bitty little puppy and she couldn't hold it very long, but she pretty much knew. Plus, I made it a really fun thing when she went potty. And every time she did, we have a party, to the point where now, all these years later, she still gets really, really happy when she goes out and goes potty. She comes in and she wants to have a party, and I call it our potty party. So she goes out. She just looked at me because I said potty party, because that's what I say to her. So we go out, she goes potty, and we have a party. So she really likes that. And she comes in and she will demand you to praise her when she goes potty. It's the funniest thing ever. But I realize that not everyone has that luxury of either being home with their pets or being able to be with their pets as much as I can, or take them to work or take them everywhere. It's really a privilege to be able to have that. That's something that I did not have with my Bichon. And so I have a soft spot in my heart for people and dogs that are just having issues with potty training and just not getting it, where the owner doesn't get it, the dog doesn't get it, everyone's frustrated, messes are happening in the house, and it's just not good. Fortunately, we eventually figured it out, you know, when we had Rascal, but not everyone is that lucky. And that's one of the reasons why dogs end up at the pound or in rescue situations. And that is so sad to me that that would be the case. So there's a way. You just have to be patient enough. So when this product crossed my desk and I saw it and got to look at it, I thought, wow, this just makes sense. So in this interview, we're going to be talking with the developer, the founder, if you will, the inventor of Gotta Potty. It's a product, as you'll hear, that is right now in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign. What that means to you is Kickstarter is a way for inventors to crowdfund their inventions. So, for example, if you had something that you invented and you didn't have the resources to, you know, for that first initial run of product, you could ask the market to help you, basically, is what you're doing. And so you put a campaign out on Kickstarter and you put all your promotional materials out there. People are essentially buying the product and or helping you by essentially making a donation. But it's like a vote saying, yeah, I like this product and I believe in you. And then as long as the target goal is met, then the product, whatever it is, goes into production and you get whatever. If you funded it, then you get whatever has been promised to you for funding at that level. If the target is not met, then if you are someone who is pledged to fund, you are not charged. You know, you're not paying anything, and the product just doesn't happen. So in this interview, we're talking with Steve Wisdom. I'll introduce him live in the interview in a little bit, so I won't belabor that. But I want to let you know that in the beginning of the interview, we talk extensively about housebreaking a dog. He gives us some really insightful tips, things that I didn't realize, honestly, and things that I realize now I really did right with Bella because the situation was different, mostly consistency. So whether or not you're interested in his product that he is trying to get crowdfunded, then it doesn't really matter. Go ahead and listen in because I think you'll get some really interesting insights into housebreaking a dog. Also in the show notes, I detail those insights so that you can easily read them and refer to them. And hopefully if you're having issues, that will help you. Of course, if you want to promote his product, Gotta Potty, and or be a part of the Kickstarter or purchase one, then I have links to his website as well as his Kickstarter campaign, and then you can get your own Gotta Potty there. If by the time you're listening to this, the Kickstarter campaign has ended, do still check at the links because that's where you'll be able to, in the show notes, remember, that link will be live to the website. So I'll have a link to his websites as well as a link to his Kickstarter campaign and all kinds of other stuff. But do still check on his website, again, linked in our show notes, if you want to purchase it. That way you can have easy access to it. So without further ado, let's get right to the interview. We're on the telephone today with Shane Wisdom, and let me tell you just a little bit about him before we let you talk, Shane. I got to introduce you because you have so much experience. Shane has over 15 years of experience as a dog trainer. He has trained over 1,500 dogs and frankly, their owners too. He's developed a dog training product, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And he is a certified professional dog trainer from the Arizona Canine Academy. Welcome, 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 Shane. I'm so excited to have you here with us at Little Pampered Dog.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate being on with you.
One of the reasons why you're on right now is because of your new, brand new product on the market that we'll talk about a little bit later. But, you know, you and I talked, and one of the things that we talked about is the fact that owners often have difficulty in getting their doggies housebroken, getting them potty trained. And that's one of your areas of expertise. Tell us a little bit about what challenges you've come up against with owners and dog training, you know, housebreaking their dogs.
Well, I tell you what, they run the gauntlet. You know, I get people that call me with puppies that are brand new, that have no bladder control whatsoever. So those clients are very, very high stress because they went from no dog to all of a sudden I've got pee on my floor. And then I get the other clients that they may be coming to come up with a bladder infection. So the dog starts to have accidents in the home and it becomes a habit. So after the bladder infection is gone, the dog will continue to pee in the spots that they were kind of marking up in the first place. And then I get a lot of clients that, you know, they go out and get these shelter dogs. They fall in love with these guys, but after 4 to 6 months and the dog is still peeing on the floor, they find themselves beating their head against the wall, trying to figure out how do I get this dog to go outside? So, there's so many clients that have this issue. And that's why I kind of came across and really developed my program, how to potty train dogs. And then that's how I came up with my product, how to make it easier.
Now, let me ask you this, because you've mentioned a lot of different dogs, from puppies to older dogs to rescue dogs and that sort of thing. Are older dogs more difficult to train than younger dogs, or are males more difficult to train than females?
I'd chalk it off into timing. You know, when you get into somebody brings home an 8-week-old puppy, they struggle with it because the dog has no bladder control whatsoever. So when you're looking at about 8 to 16-week-old dogs, the bladder is starting to develop, and they're learning to hold it. when you get into the adult dog, the problems that kind of happen is the dog is used to going inside for long periods of time, so they just don't, they just kind of need to be reprogrammed. So those are the kind of the two avenues that I kind of push people through the dog training or the potty training kind of world that I send them through. With puppies, it's about conditioning, getting them out the door as much as possible, praising them when they go outside. With the adult dogs, it's reconditioning them and keeping an eye on them to do the same thing. Get them out that door often, and recondition them to go outside. But long story short, every dog has their own problem, but it also has a lot to do with the family environment that they live in. I go to some people's houses and they've got one room, one living room, one kitchen, and, you know, two bedrooms. So it's a real easy task to get out that door. And then I go to some clients that are really high and affluent clients, and they've got three doors to choose from, two living rooms, two dining rooms, and they just really get inconsistent with the potty training process.
Is it, that's interesting. Let me ask you this. Is it better than if one is going to, I mean, I know there's people that use like the pee pee pads or whatever, but let's not talk about that. But is it better than to go out the very same door each time you're trying to train your dog to go outside?
Yes. Yes. Wow. During the potty training process, you always want to pick the most logical and convenient door for you guys to get through. You know, when you think of potty training, I go to people's houses and they say, well, I've got to go and I take my dog to the garage, and then we got to go through the garage. I got to wait for the garage door to open, and then we walk. And then I've got some clients that really get bent out of shape. They're like, well, I want my dog to pee in this specific piece of the yard. And I'm thinking, you know, with a 8 to 10 week old puppy, that's a lot of time to have to hold the bladder to get to that specific piece of the yard to make this work. I always find that if you teach somebody location, the way I potty train is kind of three avenues. Location, your pathway, and then the consistency of both of those. Location meaning don't pick the farthest door from your house, because you can always change the door once your dog is conditioned to go outside. The pathway to the house, one of the big mistakes people make is they think their dog has to pee, so they pick their dog up and run outside. Well, those dogs never understand how to get out that door other than being picked up. So when your dog's not being picked up, they don't know what to do, so they'll drop and pee whenever. So you always got to think of, which door do I want to hit? And I want to make sure everybody in the home, mom, dad, kid, brother, they all need to go out the same door, and they all have to walk the dog out that door. And that's one of the biggest things that people make mistakes on with puppies. They don't want to have pee on the floor, so they pick them up so they can hurry up and get the dog outside. And that is a struggle, because I'm agreeing, I don't want to pee on my floor either. But the dog needs to learn how to walk the pathway to that door. So the dog learns to hop, this is the direction that I walk in, that they start to pay attention to.
This may be a controversial question, I don't know, but how do you feel about the pee-pee pads?
Well, I don't like them. They can serve their purpose. There's some older clients that I deal with that live in maybe apartment complexes. Or if there's people that have handicaps or limited mobility, that I will use them for. But if you are able-bodied and you can get out the door, your dog should be trained to go outside. My version of a pee pee pad is you are training the dog to pee whenever they have to, so they never have to learn to hold it. And you're also telling them to pee underneath a roof. If you're looking up and you can see a ceiling when you pee, that's what your dog is visualizing as, the last time I peed, there was a ceiling over me. So the next time I pee, a ceiling over me is going to be what I'm going to gear towards. PP pads themselves, like I said, they can serve a purpose. And I can actually use PP pads with my product to kind of aid in that training. I try to steer people away from it, but that's when I get into problem scenarios, I can use them.
Now, let me ask you another question, though. What about those owners that they have to work and they, you know, maybe they can come home at lunchtime or whatever, but beyond that, the dog has to be inside for basically at least 8 hours a day. So they feel like they, you know, that leaving a pee pee pad is the only way to accomplish that without the dog having to hold it forever.
Well, here's what I always kind of coach people. Your dog can hold their bladder 1 hour for every month they are. So if your dog is 2 months old, they can willingly hold it for about 2 hours. And that's 2 hours while they're awake. When you put dogs, I kennel train dogs. So when you're gone for 8 hours, I push my dog into a kennel. Well, I don't push him in there. I tell him to go there. But either way, he goes in there on his own. But nonetheless, the mentality is if your dog is sleeping, your dog can hold it for 10 times longer when they're sleeping. I always kind of look at myself. During the day, I cannot go 8 to 10 hours without using the restroom. But at night, there's sometimes I wake up like, you know what, it's too cold. I don't feel like going. And I can go back to sleep and hold it for another 4 to 6. So sleeping when they're gone, when you're gone and you put the dog into a crate, in the beginning stages, 8 to 16 week old dogs, they might have accidents in that kennel. But the biggest problem with those accidents is people will, one, have the kennel too big, two, have a blanket or a pillow in that kennel that the dog is using to mask the pee. Let me give an example of that. Is some dogs, if they can pee on a blanket, they'll scoot the blanket to the side and just lay on the plastic because they don't want to pee. They don't want to lay on their wet spot. So if you've got a dog and you put them into a kennel, I'm not saying don't use covers and blankets, but if you find that every time you come home, those covers and blankets are covered full of urine, then I start telling people to peel those back and don't use them. I get a lot of clients too say, well, they need a soft place to lay. And you're right, they do. But dogs are different than us. When they lay on the ground, they can soften the way they lay because, as you know, with your dog, you've seen them lay on rocks, you've seen them lay on concrete, and they can fall asleep just fine. So I don't get too bent out of shape about having to have the most comfy kennel in the docket. Once you get your dog conditioned that not to pee in that kennel, then you can start adding blankets and pillows back in there to make it work. So long story short is if you're using a kennel to train a dog for potty training, you can start with a smaller kennel, the dog that needs to be able to turn around, stand up, and lay down. That's about as big as they need to get. Most of your kennels that you buy will have a divider in the middle, so you can move that as the dog gets older. I always coach people into, once you get a dog conditioned in this space, most of the time you can open up the kennel pretty quick to give them more room because they're just conditioned not to go in there.
Well, okay. So going back to my initial question, ideally, we're talking in ideal circumstances here and we all have different circumstances. For me, it was easy because, you know, hey, my dog is always with me. So potty training her was super easy because I watched her signs constantly. I own my own business. I can do that. Not everyone has that luxury.
I would say your ideal scenario, if let's just say you bring home an 8-week-old puppy. The first couple weeks, if you could have somebody come in maybe 3 hours into your day, you're working an 8-hour day. You're usually going to be gone for at least 9 because of travel time. So you're looking at 9 hours. If you can have somebody come in hour 3, hour 4, and hour 5, that would be ideal. If you've got the super ideal scenario, you have somebody come in every 3 hours, and then you fill in the blanks from there. The problem that most people come up with this is they use it as a crutch. The older the dog gets, the more you want to spread the time out that they're in that kennel. So in 8 to 10 week old dogs, you're looking at, hey, if you can have somebody come in about 3 hours into it, great. Now when that dog turns into 16, 18 weeks old, you want to have somebody come in maybe 6 to 8 hours into it. You know, 6 hours would be good. But your dog, most of the time, if you kind of, let's just say you have no ideal scenario, you don't have anybody to come lift the dog up. Most of the time, if a dog wets in the kennel, they don't like it. So it'll train themselves, don't pee in here because I don't want to have to lay in it. So in the beginning, you might have some mistakes inside the kennel, but that is usually short-lived. As long as it's not being coddled, such as blankets. Because most people that the dog continues to use the bathroom, the dog is using a blanket to put the pee in so he can get it away from them.
Right. I mean, the key is dogs don't want to, they don't want to be in a mess.
No.
Yeah.
No, no. And they learn from mama to not lay in their soil. because mama cleans it up right in front of them when they're puppies.
Right, right. I gotcha. Yes, yeah. So they know, and that's uncomfortable for them. They're wise in that way. So,
you know, one of the struggles, real quick, one of the struggles is some of the pet store dogs, because they are conditioned to go right where they sleep, because usually they put them on wire grates that the urine and feces fall through. So they're conditioned for long periods of time that it's okay to pee right here because it goes underneath me. So those can be a little more challenging from a pet store.
Has there ever been a dog that you couldn't potty train?
Yes, but no. I would say it was the owner that wasn't willing to do the work that made it go sour. Most of the time, it's not the dog, it's the owner. I could almost say all the time, it's the owner that makes it go sour. I've got client after client, and this is one of the reasons I came up with the Gotta Potty product, is because I've got client after client, they tell me, I can't watch my dog 24/7. And I get that. I've got two kids myself. I understand that 100%, but you cannot use I'm doing laundry as a crutch that I didn't see my dog need to go to the restroom, because that didn't never work with your kids. I remember potty training my kids. My first one, it was, you know, a big chore and it was so exciting. The second one, it was, you know, I don't feel like watching her so close, so let's wait till next week to start trying. And that's usually what people try to do in the dog world. They try to pawn it and push it off, thinking, well, when they get older, they'll have better bladder control, or they'll eventually start going outside. You've got to step it up. I always give people, if you follow my program, you can go a 10-step increase in how good your dog is potty trained in a 2-week time period. So from a scale of 1 to 10, if they call me and they're at a level 2 because their dog pees on the floor, within 2 weeks' time, they can be up to a level 6 with 100% less mistakes and on the track to getting the dog completely potty trained.
Well, and let's talk about that program, which now encompasses your product, the Gotta Potty product. And before we do that, let's mention both of your websites. You have your dog training website, which is dogwisdom.com, and then your new product on the market, which is Gotta-Potty, which is Gotta-Potty, Potty.com. And I will have both linked in the show notes for this episode, so that, you know, if someone's listening to this, if you're listening to this and you're running or doing whatever, don't worry, it's in the show notes. But so let's talk specifically about that product. Tell me, what is Gotta Potty?
Well, Gotta Potty, it's a pressure. Here's what I came up with. Clients would tell me, you know, I can't get my dog potty trained. And when I would go to their home and I would kind of assess the issue, what the problem typically was, I would realize their dog is going to the same place over and over to use the restroom. The joke I kind of use is, if I would redesign a house, I would put sod in the dining room, because that's where dogs like to pee. That's what would make it even more fun for the dog, because that's what people would start to get into. The way I potty train is, I call it, it's like I said, three prongs of training. There's indoor, there's outdoor, and then there's the correction base. The indoor way to get the dog to understand to go potty, you have to visualize a flight pattern. So if I figure, let's see, where do you live, Lourdes?
I'm in Florida.
You're in Florida. So I'm in St. Louis. So in order for me to get to Florida, let's just say Florida would be outside. In order for me to get to Florida, I might have to fly through Chicago. So to get out to Florida from St. Louis, I'm going to go to Chicago and then down to Florida. Now, when I kind of push that into a housing environment, if I'm in the kitchen, but I have to go around the corner to get to my front door, those are the flight patterns that I would look for. In the kitchen would be St. Louis. The last spot that I can see the dog before they cut that corner would be Chicago, and then I do a straight shot from Chicago right to Florida. So that is my flight pattern. When I use the flight pattern method is, when the dog hits that certain area, let's just say I'm in the kitchen, and they start to wander down that hallway, then instantly I say, hey, got to go outside, and I use the words, let's go outside. On the way to the front door, I'm going to mark every one of those flight hubs, let's go outside. So from the kitchen, I'm going to see the dog wandering in that space that they keep going to the bathroom. I'm going to say, let's go outside, and then take them right to another space that leads to the front door and say it again, let's go outside. And then once I get to the front door, I'm going to say it again, let's go outside. So what it does is it develops a plan for the dog to understand no matter where I go that I want to pee, he says, let's go outside, and he takes me on these points of exit to get there. Long term, what it does, it teaches the dog that, hey, even though I walk over here to the corner, when he says, let's go outside, he walks the same pathway every time to the outside environment. Long term, your dog starts to skip the places where I don't send them, and they start to condition to walk that pathway that I've set up. It kind of makes sense?
Yeah, I think actually that's brilliant. So how does the got a potty come into that?
Well, when I'm in the kitchen, let's just say I'm in the kitchen and I've got my head in the dishwasher. Or the way my kitchen's set up is I've got a laundry room off the side of the kitchen. Well, if my dog walks down that pathway, I don't see it. And that's the struggle that people have. Because people have lives, people have kids that they're feeding dinner, they're doing homework, they're doing all this stuff on top of they added the puppy into the mix. So my Gotta Potty mat is a pressure mat that has a voice recording that you record in your voice. So the mat can be hidden underneath the rug, and you would record in that mat, gotta go outside. So on the way to that outside door, I would place that mat to where the dog would start to step on it. When the dog steps on the mat, it says the exact same words that you're wanting to use to condition the dog to use the bathroom to get outside. It says it for you. So when the dog steps on that mat, it's going to alert you from across the room, got to go outside. And then that's your cue to jump and run. The other cool thing and feature about my product is it has a receiver that goes up to 200 feet. So if I'm giving the kids a bath or getting the kids ready for school or whatever the case, there's a belt clip that you can use or you can set it up on the counter. But you can record your receiver to say something different. Hey, Muggsy's getting ready to poop on the floor. You better get downstairs and let him out. You can say whatever words you want to say. So the dog will step on the mat, hear those words. Your receiver goes off and says, you better rush it. And then that way you can get outside and finish the pathway to get the dog outside.
That is brilliant. Let me go back to a scenario that you said before to make sure that I understand this. One of the things that you said is if you could put sod in the dining room because dogs seem to, for whatever reason, be making their messes in a room that's inappropriate for them to do so. So would you, in that case, let's say the dog's always going to the dining room, to use that example, and you have some kind of one spot that they seem to always be going in the dining room. If you put your Gotta Potty mat there, say under the throw rug, under the table, for example, then whenever the dog is there, you're alerted even if you're in another room. So you've got hopefully a fighting chance to, you know, get to them and get them out the door to learn that, you know, I know you've got to go, but this is the appropriate place to go. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but I would actually move. I wouldn't put the mat where the dog pees. I put the mat on the pathway to where the dog pees.
Okay.
Because then you hear it way before the dog is squatting and peeing.
Okay.
You know, most houses are set up fairly similar when it comes to dining rooms. And the reason why your dog goes to the dining room is because your dog, by nature, goes to the outskirts of their property to eliminate. The reason why they go to the outskirts of their property to eliminate is because it's a marker of territory. So when your dog is, so you're in your living room playing with your dog. If your dog wanders out of the living room, they're social animals. There's no reason for them to leave the living room when you're in charge and running the show and playing. There's no reason for them to leave other than they probably have to use the restroom. So those are the pathways that I start to set up. You know, with the Gotta Potty product, it comes with a free DVD that shows you how to set it up, shows you how to start it farther away from the door, and then gradually move it closer to the front door so the dog starts to continually learn that, hey, this is the spot that I need to head to. But, you know, long story short is you put it in the pathway where they're getting ready to head to pee, so then you are triggered well before they're squatting and peeing.
That, okay. Now, see, that makes sense because I was like, how am I going to make it there in time? So, for example, let me say this back to you to make sure I understood. Again, using the dining room example, assuming that that's where they seem to have found a place to make a mess or whatever, then if there is an entranceway to that dining room, obviously there likely would be like a doorway or whatever, you would put the mat on the way to the dining room, right?
Well, yes and no. What I'd like to do, my mat can handle, or I'm sorry, my receiver can handle up to two mats. So I can place one mat in the general path that I would normally be using from the living room to the door. The second mat I can purchase that just comes with a mat and not an extra receiver, that can be used in the problem area. Because most dogs, you know, some people have two entrances to their dining room.
Right.
So if you've got two entrances to the dining room, you could use two mats. So no matter what angle they hit it, they're going to go through it. But the principle is you've got to teach the dog. And the way you don't, I guess where I'm getting at is you don't want to use that as a scenario of how to potty train the dog. You want to actively use the mat to potty train the dog. And that's something that I kind of explained in the video. And the way I explain it in the video is if I'm in the living room, I'll place the mat on the pathway to the door. I will use that mat up to 10 times a day to just go outside. Not necessarily meaning they have to go potty every time they go, but I'm going to walk the dog over the mat. It's going to say, got to go outside, and I'm going to take the dog outside. I'll bring the dog back in maybe 5 to 10 minutes later. I'm going to say, let's go outside and do it again. I tell you guys in the video that it's up to 15 times a day that you want to push the dog over that mat so he hears the sound and then take them outside so they can start to relate the words, let's go outside, to the actual action of going outside.
Very smart. Okay. I'm with you now. I'm with you. That makes sense. So there's the problem solving potential of the gotta potty, but there's also the just train them right from the beginning.
You got it. And that's what I suggest is I suggest to train them right from the beginning because, you know, buying an extra mat, obviously it puts extra cost in the deal. But if you're doing it right from the get go, if you get a puppy or a dog for that matter in the first 2 weeks timeline, you start to use this product. You won't have to buy a second mat to go to the dining room because the dog will already be potty trained.
Right. And then, you know, at some point, then they're just conditioned and no more issues ever. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, my situation is different from many people, but I have a very small dog and she was literally physically, you have no idea. Like we were attached to one another for the first 2 weeks, but then after that we had no more issues. But that's literally because her paws did not touch the floor without me looking at her 24 hours a day, and most people can't do that and or are unwilling to do that and can't just
well,
frankly
I,
can't
I give people general things to look for: sniffing and circling in areas that they're not normally going to. If you've got a puppy and they start to wander out of the room with their nose to the floor right in the middle of a game, then that is their bladder saying, we got to go outside. If your dog is sleeping and they wake up, boy, that's a guarantee they've got to go outside. If they can't get comfortable, I got a lot of clients, the dog will just, they'll go and lay down over here, and then they kind of get up and they go and lay down over there, and they kind of get up and they try to lay down over here again. That's a sign that they can't get comfortable because your dogs really don't understand their bladder is the one that's kind of making them uncomfortable. So when you see that type of behavior, that's something that I'll start to trigger him over that mat to get outside. And when you start to look for those triggers and then you use the cue system or the targeting system that I'm using with my Gotta Potty mat, they start to learn it real quick that, hey, when I start to head out the room and I hit this mat, it all turns fun because they take me outside, I pee outside, they take the dog, they go crazy, they love it. And then, you know, they start to condition to do it that way every day.
Now, let's talk about how the Gotta Potty is being sold at this moment, because right now I see that you have a Kickstarter campaign going on with this. Tell us about that.
Kickstarter is a crowdfunding type site that you ask for a certain amount of money, and I've asked for $25,000. And if you get to that 25,000, they pay you out that 25,000. But technically, it's a place where I can put the video, promote the product, give people instruction on how to use it, and, you know, promote it. So Kickstarter, you can pledge $1, you can pledge $5, or you can go to any of the tiers. The tier structure is, right now, I've got it to, if you would buy it, the Gotta Potty product, it's at a discounted rate. For $69.95, you can get the product, the pressure mat, the transmitter, and the receiver, and the DVD, the free instruction DVD. You get that at that discounted rate at $69.95. When it gets to the stores, I'm going to retail them at $99, because it's a product that, I tell you what, I think people will really jump on, because $99 is cheaper than, new carpet. So long story short, if you went to Kickstarter, you can pledge $5, $2, $3, or you can buy the product, at $69. And as soon as I get them, I will ship them to you. Now, obviously, I'm waiting for it to fund before I can actually make the order. But that's kind of the avenue that I'm going. So I'm hoping everybody will just go to Kickstarter. And even if they don't have a dog, or even if they've got a friend with a dog, you can pledge $5. You can pledge $30. If you pledge $30, you get a dog bowl and a dog leash. If you pledge $15, you get a scoopable dog bowl. Little things that, you know, just to kind of thank you for your support. But you can get into the program for $69 up until July 10th on the Kickstarter website.
Well, it looks like actually I'm on your Kickstarter campaign here, and I'm going to link to that in the show notes also so that we can very easily find it. But it looks like you're off to a really good start.
I am. I'm up to like $4,000 today.
Right.
Which is, that's 16% of my goal. I've got another, I'd say 21 days left, so a good 2-week timeline, and I'm trying to get this rolling. Like I said, I have to rethink, after, you know, we get to this Kickstarter, if it doesn't fund. The cool thing about Kickstarter too is, let's just say, Lord, if you say, you know what, I want to help him, and I'm going to give him $69. What I'm going to do at the end is, if I don't hit the mark, everybody gets their money back. So,
well, that's a Kickstarter thing,
another.
Right? I mean, that's a Kickstarter thing. So that's important for people to know. If for some reason the 25,000 goal isn't reached, then you're never charged.
You're never charged.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're never charged. So that's cool. And I think that's good. I mean, that shows whether there's truly, truly interest or not. What have you found? Are people interested in utilizing this for their dogs?
They are. They are interested. I get a lot of people. I sent an email out to all my clients about the product. The problem is they're all trained, because I've trained them already.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, so nobody needs the product. So I'm looking for people that need the product. The other cool thing about this product too, and it's kind of off the subject, but you know, you can use this product for all kinds of things. I've said, you know, I used to manage a veterinarian clinic, and people would ask, you know, has your cat eaten in the last 2 days? You could take this product and you can put it in front of your cat bowl, mute the actual speaker that's on the actual mat itself, but the receiver will go off and says, hey, your cat's eaten. You could use it outside your kid's door because, he's jumping out of the crib and he likes to run around at night. You can put the receiver next to your bed and say, hey, little Johnny just got up. You can use it for other things other than the potty machine. But the potty machine is the most obvious thing that I would use it for.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and that's what our listeners would be interested in, is if they're having difficulties with the Gotta Potty, or, you know, I see that you have one level here that you can donate some Gotta Potties to a shelter of your choice. And I think that's great, because a lot of us are very involved in the rescue community, whether we're rescuers ourselves or just really, you know, believers of the different, you know, our own neighborhood rescues. And so many of us are involved with that, and hey, this is a way to provide one or two.
Yeah,
or
and
three.
That yeah. And that was my idea. My idea was, if I can donate three of these to a shelter or three different shelters, and they have a dog that somebody says, you know what, Fufu is potty training problem, I can't do it, I can't take it anymore, I'm bringing the dog back to the shelter. I figured if I donate them to a shelter or somebody donates them to a shelter, then they could use that to keep the dog in the home. And the number one thing I found in the shelter world is, how do I prevent this dog from going back?
Yes. Because
all shelter dogs will come with some sort of issue, some sort of problem that you've got to solve. That's probably why they're in there in the first place. So if we can just solve that issue with a product such as this, it just saves a lot of dogs.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. And what a shame for a dog to not have a home because for whatever reason, he or she just isn't getting, you know, potty training. It maybe didn't get a good start in life or whatever. And so has sure. no clue what to do. And if something like this could help the foster families or the shelter staff to help the dog learn, what a gift that would be, and more dogs' lives saved and more blessings for people with wonderful dogs. Let's talk about real briefly before we let you go, your dog training business, and that is Dog Wisdom, that we can find at dogwisdom.com. Where do you train dogs, and do you offer any consultations for people that are not in your area?
Well, here's what I do. I am a people person, and I help. I've got a big following here locally. I live in O'Fallon, Missouri. It's about 20-minute drive from St. Louis, Missouri. And I go pretty much anywhere. I do all in-home private lessons. There are people that will call me from out of state. There are people that will call me, and I will coach them through things that I can help them through without being there the best I can. I'm always in the business to make money, but I got in the business really because I like dogs and I like to help people as well. So if you would call me from a distant land, I'd say, and you've got a simple problem, I will shoot you some helpful hints, and I do that free of charge. I don't really, you know, I don't really charge people. I probably should.
Oh, you should. You should. You should. I mean, you absolutely should. Some things, you know, maybe just someone is stuck with some issue with their dog and they don't know what to do, and they don't, you know, want to bless you with money for your time and expertise. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I founded myself, and I've been in this business for 13 years for a reason. If I can help somebody and it has to be for free, they'll tell 10 of their friends about me.
That's true.
And my goal is not to make the measly $10 for talking to you for an hour. I'd rather you tell all your friends about me and have your friends call me. And that's kind of the way I founded my business. I managed a vet's office for 8 years before I even got into dog training. So I got to listen to a lot of people's problems on that end of the spectrum as well, medical issues and that sort of thing. And I just found that nickel diamond people is just not what I've ever wanted to do.
Right.
I'd love to get rich. Just like everybody else, how much money can I make? It'd be awesome. But doing that on the back of somebody that's struggling with a problem, it's not really my forte. So, my game is, if I can help you pretty quick, pretty easy, I will do so. If I can't, I'll coach you where to find a trainer, what you should look for in a trainer, and, kind of give you a headway on how to get this problem solved in your local community.
That's really awesome, Shane. And how do people, particularly in your area, get a hold of you? I'm assuming they go to your website, dogwisdom.com?
Yep, they go to my website, dogwisdom.com, or they can call me direct at 314-494-9808.
Don't worry, y'all, if you didn't grab that, I will have that in the show notes, so I'll make sure to put that there again. But go ahead, Shane.
And, you know, and then the other way you can kind of contact me too. And if you've got questions, my 100% goal, for the next, 21 days is to get anybody that I can to go to that Kickstarter. That Kickstarter page is going to get the ground rolling, get the place running, to where I can answer a lot more questions for a lot more people. But that Kickstarter.com, and if you search Got a Potty in their search bar, mine will pop right up.
Yeah, or
and you'll also get to see my famous little bulldog Muggsy.
Oh,
he is my show dog.
That's
he's
your
my
baby.
Show dog. That's my baby.
Oh.
And you get to see him in all my videos. You know, he's an interesting character himself. He is not the best dog for training. Most trainers have Belgian Malinois or Australian Shepherds, and these dogs are standing on bricks and jumping over fences and doing this. Muggsy really doesn't do anything, because what I train dogs to do is to be good for their owners, not to be circus dogs. I want to solve problems to keep dogs in homes. I want to keep dogs from biting kids. I want to keep dogs from peeing on floors. And it's not so much trick training that I kind of demo. You know, I've had people put me on, local TV stations, like, well, can you get your dog to do tricks? And I was like, well, that's not really what I do. My trick that I do is keep the dog in the home. That's what I focus my training all about, is leadership and keeping the dog in that home environment.
Good for you. Yes. It's about love between human and dog and just keeping dog and human families together. So that's awesome. Shane, thank you so much. I wish you so much luck in your project here. And I can tell you, while we've been this short time that we've been on the phone talking to one another, you added yet another backer. I saw you literally go from 64 to 65 backers. So that's awesome. And it wasn't me. I literally just saw the number click and it wasn't me. So it's not like I manipulated that.
You know, I'm excited. I'm really thankful that you put me on today. I'm hopefully, this information that I give is giving somebody a way to, get over that hump of potty training their pup. And, once again, that gotta-potty.com, if you need extra help potty training, hit that website. And if you want to really help me get this ball moving, kickstarter.com, and search that gotta potty, and I'm here to help.
Awesome, Shane. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Wasn't it fun talking to Shane? I have to tell you, I really enjoyed meeting him. I really like his heart. I think his heart is absolutely in the right place in trying to make sure that he is doing everything that he can to help his clients in housebreaking their dogs. That is one of the most important things that we can teach our dogs right off the bat, is where it's appropriate to go and where it's not appropriate to go. So again, near and dear to my heart for all the reasons previously mentioned. To tell you a little bit more about where you can find the show notes, again, go to littlepamperdog.com/010, littlepamperdog.com/010. And remember, Little Pampered Dog is so much. I hope you go to the website and check everything out. We are a digital magazine. We have this podcast. We have a boutique that we're constantly adding products to, and a blog. I mean, there's so much going on there. If nothing else, I certainly hope that you will take advantage of our free newsletter. Our magazine isn't free, but our newsletter is. So this way we can keep in touch between newsletter issues, so that if there's a new, between magazine issues, that way if there's a new magazine that comes out, you'll know about it. When there's a new free podcast that comes out, you'll know about it. When there's new products that we think you'll like, you'll know about it. When there's anything newsworthy in the dog world, and there's always something going on in the world of people that love dogs, you'll know about that too. So definitely sign up for our newsletter, which you can find right on the homepage. Until next time, thank you so much for being a part of Little Pampered Dog. And just remember, make sure to love and hug and spoil and pamper that little dog of yours too.